Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
He covers the Bears for us and also for NBC Sports Chicago, Adam Ho. Good morning, Adam.
Morning, Bob.
Happy morning after to you. One of the things I was thinking about yesterday during the Super Bowl, how much do you think it really matters when you're playing in your home stadium, as Tampa Bay was? I know they have piped in sound, a limited number of folks in the stands, but do you think the familiarity helps, or is it something that the media makes a big deal out of?
Well, it was made a big deal because it's never happened before, so it was interesting to watch. But, you know, I think once the game started, there probably wasn't too much of an advantage. You know, we've been talking and writing all season about how home field advantage had kind of gone away with no fans in the stands anyway. So in many ways, maybe that was just a familiarity of going through that same type of process and already being used to the fact that, all right, you know, at least you're going to practice at home during the week. You don't have to travel anywhere. And then you show up to the stadium and you're kind of already used to, at this point, not having the same home field advantage you normally would. So I think that to answer that question, it had more to do with what happened during the week. The fact that Tampa was in their own practice facility, steps away from the stadium. The pregame routine was probably similar to what it normally is at a home game. Whereas the Chiefs, it was snowing at one point in Kansas City this week. They were practicing indoors at times, and then they still had to fly, and they flew the day before the game, which took away some of the excitement. What they maybe got used to last year when they went through the Super Bowl process a year ago, it kind of evened that playing field, whereas maybe a lot of the Buccaneers players would have been caught up in the hype of Super Bowl week, and that was kind of gone.
Adam, I'll ask you to address what I suggested about this game earlier is that I think Kansas City had a bad day. I think Todd Bowles' defense had a lot to do with that. But I also think that this wasn't the best game that we've seen from Kansas City, and that's going to happen from time to time. I don't know that this is the kind of thing where other teams in the NFL will look at this as the blueprint for how you beat the Chiefs, aside from if you can put all kinds of pressure on Patrick Mahomes, then, you know, you can probably beat any team in the NFL if you're able to get him on the run the way they were yesterday.
Yeah, I think the one mistake I made during the week, because I did end up picking the Chiefs, is just I underestimated the losses on the offensive line mm-hmm. that the Chiefs had with the injuries they had. And the reason I did that was just because it seems like Patrick Mahomes just is invincible. Like, you can't phase him. And he's so good and so mobile that it almost negates some of the losses that he had in front of him. At least that's what I thought going into the game. And I probably should have given Todd Bowles, the Buccaneers defensive coordinator, really that front seven. It's a really good front seven. It's a really good defense that the Bucs have. And gave them a little bit more credit probably for what they could do. And you saw that Patrick Mahomes can be affected by the pass rush. However, I didn't really feel like much of that was his fault. He was running for his life the whole right. game, and there were still some incredible throws he made in there, even on incompletion. So, yeah, I think one. But overall, just as a team, one of the teams came out and played much better than the other, and you know, I guess sometimes that just happens in football.
On the eve of the Super Bowl, the big story locally was that the Philadelphia Eagles are going to trade quarterback Carson Wentz, or at least it looks that way, and that the Bears are among the teams expressing interest. Without a lot of time here to get into it, what do you think the chances are that Carson Wentz ends up in Lake Forest?
Well, I think there is a chance if the price comes down. So I think a lot of what you heard over the weekend, like multiple first-round picks, more players going back to Philly in the deal, you know, the only way that happens, the Bears give up all that, is if Philadelphia agrees to eat more of the money, which you can do in a trade. If the Eagles say, all right, we're going to pay like half of Carson Wentz's already ridiculous salary, then that maybe they'll get more return. But a lot of what you heard, I think, on Saturday with, like, the Bears giving up a ton, including a first-round pick, that would really, really surprise me. I think if the price comes down, Carson Wentz does make sense for the Bears. He's played in a similar offense. I still think he can turn his career around. 2020 was a really bad season for him, but 2019 he threw for 4,000 yards, which the Bears have never had in the history of their entire franchise. So there's still some things to like about Carson Wentz, but not at the price that was being talked about over the weekend.
Did I hear that Mahomes is going to have surgery on his toe? And it was reported he had turf toe. That must be some turf toe problem, man. He was limping late in the game, but looked like the kind of injury, if that happens to me, I'm in traction for 6 months.
Yeah. You know, that, and that goes back to me sort of just going before the game saying, look, nothing can affect this guy. We knew about the toe injury. He'd been dealing with it for a few weeks. And he looked completely normal to me throughout most of the playoffs, and even for most of that game last night. But that awkward hit he took late in the game where three guys kind of crunched him like a, three different directions, that was awful, and I think that probably affected him.
Yeah, that hurt my head. Adam Hogue, sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Appreciate it, Adam. And by the way, aerial shots of our show today provided by the WGN blimp. Have a good day, Adam. Always good talking
to
you.
You too. Chicago's very own Bob Surratt starts your
day. From WGN Television, it's Jared Payton. Actually, Jared, I could introduce you that way, or I could just say you were the star athlete at St. Viator and the most valuable player of the 2014 Orange Bowl. You went to the University of Miami, or I can point out that you had 33 carries for 105 yards and two touchdowns in 2005 for the Tennessee Titans. Which introduction do you prefer?
Probably the athlete from St. Viator High School. That one right there. That one suits me the best, Bob. I love that one.
And we like seeing you at 10:30 with Dan Rohn on GN Sports. And we saw Russell Wilson on TV, the Seahawks quarterback, earn the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award for charitable work. Now, usually you've been down at the Super Bowl to present that award, haven't you?
Yes. This year a little bit different with COVID. We just decided not to, you know, make the trip this year. But it was actually kind of refreshing a little bit because, I mean, I know your listeners are, everybody would love to go to the Super Bowl. I've been going since 99, and for, you know, my family and I to actually be home and watch it, it gave us a different perspective this time. And normally we know who's actually going to win before, like, the day before. So like the Friday before NFL honors on Saturday, we know who the winner is. This time we didn't know at all. So we were all waiting like everybody else. And my mom, my sister and I, we all talked and we said, man, this was actually kind of fun to not know and not have to dress up and be home to watch it. But Russell Wilson, a phenomenal guy at what he's doing on and off the field. And just kind of upset that we didn't get a chance to meet him in person. But it sounds like sometime this week we're jumping on a Zoom call with him. I'm just hoping that Sierra, is actually his wife, is on the call as well, because I'm a huge fan of hers.
Well, listen, Russell Wilson, he's donated more than 1 million meals to Feeding America and Food Lifeline. He's helped raise the equivalent of more than 50 million meals for people who need that. So he's an impressive young man, isn't he?
Yes, he is. And it's just a testament to hear his speech and, you know, him talking about his dad. He wished that his dad was here to see, you know, this award, and that my dad was his favorite player. And, man, it just... I was in tears. The whole family was in tears because just to see the impact that my dad had, you know, on the game of football, but also outside of football, and that guys want to win this award more than they want to win the MVP award, and that it's the highest honor in the NFL, and that it has my dad's name on it. It's still, it gives me the chills, and I think it takes us back a little bit. And, you know, we see him as dad, but the world sees him as, you know, the superhero who, you know, wore 34 on Sundays. And he was all that, but he was also just a great person on and off the field, and just honored to call him dad. It's a pretty cool moment.
Yeah, I had the honor of interviewing him a couple of times, and it was always a lot of fun. That's for sure.
He was a joke. He was a jokester. So, I mean, that's where I get it from a little bit. So you always had to be on your toes when you were interviewing him.
Yeah, that's for sure.
By the way, JP, I agree with you about Russell Wilson's speech. I thought it was tremendous. And watching the awards, and I think it's nice, too, that they made the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award, it was like the big award of the night. I mean, they kind of keep it for the end of the show. So that, I think, underscores the significance and just how important this award is to the NFL. I just want to get your thought. As someone who's been to the Super Bowl every year since 1999, aside from the obvious, which, of course, is that Tom Brady wins another one, what's your biggest takeaway from the game yesterday?
Biggest takeaway. I tweeted it, Dave. It's, you know, everybody really wants these high-flying offenses in the NFL, and that's where, you know, I the NFL's heading, and you could see that with KC and their offense. To me, it was watching how defenses still are so dominant that they win you championships and that you can run the football. I mean, those are the two things I took away from the game, is that, you know, everybody wants these high-flying offenses, and rightfully so, because that's where the NFL is going. But defenses win championships, and being able to control the game on the ground, and that's what Tampa did. And it doesn't matter if you're the favorite coming in, if you have a game plan, Todd Bowles had an unbelievable game plan. The other thing that jumped out to me is that we actually made it to a Super Bowl. I didn't think we would make it there with the pandemic. And so hats off to the NFL and those players for, you know, they wasn't perfect, but they found a way to be able to make it happen, and they made the greatest game in the world. They made it happen, and so it gave us an opportunity to be able to see it all the way through to the end. And so hats off to Roger Goodell and the NFL for being able to have those protocols in place for us to have a Super Bowl to watch.
Yeah, win for all of us. The pride and joy of St. Viators, it's Jared Payton, and we'll be watching you on WGN TV as always. Thanks for the time this morning, Jared.
Thanks, guys.